Okay, so for those of you listening on the radio, thanks for being here again. We're on Chapter 55 of Volume 2 of Mind, Character, and Personality, page 510, if you actually have the book. And this chapter is, of course, about pain. Should be interesting. And it's going to be a short one tonight, folks. Okay, I'll read the first three, since there's so few of them. Okay, the first one says, not God who causes pain. And she goes on to say that show that it is not God who causes pain and suffering, but that man through his own ignorance and sin has brought this condition upon himself. You know, I ran across some people on YouTube and in an email too, you know, all in one week, a few of them, blaming God for certain problems in their life and for wars and for diseases and all these other weird things. And I had to explain to them, I says, look, you know, I shared with them that one thing that I had when I was, I don't know, a couple, 3 months ago, walking out there in the field in prayer, and the Lord showed me like a quickie understanding of absolute truth for me to explain things. You know, like with the grass, and I looked at the blade of grass, and I noticed it was green, and it was more or less revealed that it's green because everything that He created is working in balance. It is the way it is. The absolute truth is, if you have the soil, you've got the sunshine, you've got the oxygen, you've got the nutrients in the soil, the grass will be green. But if you take away something, the grass will be brown. Or if you add something, the grass will be brown. You know, too much sunlight or not enough water, whatever the case may be. So if everything's running the way He created it to run, then the grass will be green. And that's what I was trying to explain to these people in the emails and on YouTube. I says, you know, you're blaming God for things that you're doing. You've got the disease or you've got the situation or whatever the case may be is because you're stepping out of God's will. You know, people complain about lung cancer. Well, quit smoking. You know, or they complain about liver disease. Well, quit drinking. You know, there's all these weird things that happen, even with the unclean foods. Okay, so that's my two cents in that point. So anyway, the next thing is sin has produced pain. And Sister White shares that the continual transgression of man for 6,000 years has brought sickness, pain, and death as its fruits. And as we near the close of time, Satan's temptation to indulge appetite will be more powerful and more difficult to overcome. Man. And it is. I mean, it's not just appetite and food. I mean, it's appetite and sin. It's appetite and, you know, all sorts of weird stuff. I mean, you know, like we were talking about the other day, like when I was a teenager, you drive down the road and the majority of the cars weren't brand new. Once in a while, you'd see a brand new car and think, oh, that guy's got money. And nowadays, you know, the grand majority of the cars are new. Everybody's being tempted into debt and all these, you know, it's just keeping up with the Joneses thing, you know, or it's the food they eat or, you know, the unclean food or too much of the food or whatever the case is, you know. He's all these temptations. The Lord knows, though, he has long-suffering with us, and so praise His name for that, because if it was anything like, if the Lord was like us, then we would, of course, have a lot of problems, because I'm pretty judgmental at times, and I'm sure everybody else is too, you know. And so for those of our, you know, Christian brethren that are dealing with temptations like this, like I am and we all are, we pray for each other, and it makes it that much easier. So praise His name for that. But that's what's so sad about the people that don't want to be Christians. So then you deal with all this pain on your own, because that's what you're asking. It's not easy. That's why Prozac was invented, I guess. Anyway, continuing, the next one is aches and pains, nature's protest. Many are living in violation of the laws of health and are ignorant of the relation their habits of eating, drinking, and working sustain to their health. They will not arouse to their true condition until nature protests against the abuses she is suffering by aches and pains in the system, if even then the sufferers would only commence the work right and would resort to the simple means they have neglected, the use of water and proper diet, nature would have just the help she requires and which she ought to have had long before. If this course is pursued, the patient will generally recover without being debilitated. And this reminds me of Luke in a lot of ways, my son, because what he went through, a lot of it had to do with his lifestyle, overworking, not eating properly, not sleeping properly, and it just got to him, you know? And he's got a constitution that's a little weaker than most, I guess, because it hit him hard. It almost killed him. It reminds me of this one guy when I was selling insurance. I come home and, I went over to the person's home to deliver a life insurance policy to the mother, and she was still a little bit distraught about the fact that her son died, and I didn't know he died because he wasn't covered. And she just got some on herself, and she was thinking about how she should have gotten it on him. I says, well, what happened? And she says, he was, burning the candle at both ends. He was getting 2-3 hours of sleep a night. And he did this for like 2 years straight, and then at the age of 22, the ripe old age of 22, he had a heart attack and died. He was, so consumed with the way the world is. Get everything you can and just, and it killed him. But now that my, son has been shown the dangers of this and some others too that I know of, that we all know of, that have dealt with this scary situation, hopefully it's a rude awakening and you won't have to go through it a second time. Yeah. Well, yeah. We will, we definitely have you in prayer, Sister Lynn, and anybody else that has area, temptations in that area or trials, if you will, in that area. Temptation's not a sin, nor is a trial. Go ahead there, Library Girl. That's it for me for now.
Well, definitely praying with you, Lynn, about that. The next one is intemperance causes suffering. Many are so devoted to intemperance that they will not change their course of indulging in gluttony under any consideration. They would sooner sacrifice health and die prematurely than to restrain their intemperate appetites. And there are many who are ignorant of the relation their eating and drinking has to health. Could such be enlightened, they might have moral courage to deny the appetite and eat more sparingly, and of that food alone which was helpful, and by their own course of action save themselves a great amount of suffering. It's true. It's easier said than done sometimes, but very possible. The next one is pain caused by restoring processes. Pain is frequently caused by the effort of nature to give life and vigor to those parts that have become partially lifeless through inaction. And suffering exaggerated by mental attitudes. This is a personal message. If you had denied your taste for reading and seeking to please yourself, had devoted more time to prudent physical exercise, and had eaten carefully of proper, healthful food, you would have avoided much suffering. A part of this suffering has been imaginary. If you had braced your mind to resist the disposition to yield to infirmities, you would not have had nervous spasms. Your mind should be drawn away from yourself to household duties, keeping your house with order, neatness, and taste. And I'll read one more. Let's need to scroll up here. Sufferers inclined to become impatient. Well, that's true. Sufferers can do for themselves that which others cannot do as well for them. They should commence to relieve nature of the load they have forced upon her. They should remove the cause. Fast a short time and give the stomach chance for rest. Reduce the feverish state of the system by a careful and understanding application of water. These efforts will help nature in her struggles to free the system of impurities. But generally, the persons who suffer pain become impatient. They are not willing to use self-denial and suffer a little from hunger. Neither are they willing to wait the slow process of nature to build up the overtaxed energies of the system, but they are determined to obtain relief at once and take powerful drugs.
Amen. sin continuing, suffering over which we have no control. There are those who are pure-minded and conscientious, who are sufferers from different causes over which they have no control. Not hidden from Jesus Christ. What a wonderful thought it is that Jesus knows all about the pains and griefs we bear. In all our afflictions, he was afflicted. And that is beautiful, I mean, to internalize that. Some among our friends know of human woe or physical pain. They are never sick, and therefore they cannot enter fully into the feelings of those who are sick. I can attest to that. I mean, I remember when my dad was very ill, and then it seemed like my sister was ill, and my dad was one who used to walk 5 miles, 3 to 5 miles a day, or exercise with his bike, and the only thing that he really, he didn't eat meat or anything like that, the only thing that he kept struggling with was drinking enough water. And but he died of multiple myeloma, cancer of the bone. And couldn't understand it, you know, but God knows everything. He was a weary warrior, so to speak, because he went to his grave with stripes, literal stripes on his back, where he was beaten for following God all the way. And God knows everything, and even though, you know, things seem kind of hard and stuff, but God knows why. But continuing, it says, not hidden from Jesus Christ. What a wonderful thought it is that Jesus knows all about the pains and griefs we bear. In all our afflictions, he was afflicted. Some among our friends know nothing of human woe or physical pain. They are never sick, and therefore they cannot enter fully into the feelings of those who are sick. But Jesus is touched with the feeling of our infirmity. And one more. God vitally interested in man's suffering. He will not be held guiltless who neglects to relieve suffering on the Sabbath. God's holy rest day was made for man, and acts of mercy are in perfect harmony with its intent. God does not desire his creatures to suffer and ours pain that may be relieved upon the Sabbath or any other day.
Amen. Okay, trusting when in pain. Your mind may often be clouded because of pain. Then do not try to think, but just rest and show that you have committed your soul to God as unto a faithful Creator. It is your privilege to show in your weakness and suffering that you do not doubt the love of God towards you, that you know that he is faithful who has promised, and that you trust soul and body in his hands, and that he will keep that which is committed to his trust. Let your mind dwell upon the goodness of God, upon the great love wherewith he has loved us, as evidenced in the work of redemption. If he did not love us and consider us of value, then this great sacrifice would not have been made. He is beneficent in mercy and in grace. Let your heart and mind be at rest like a tired child in the arms of its mother. His everlasting arms are beneath you. In all your afflictions, Jesus is afflicted. Hide in him, and the wicked one will not harass or confuse your faith. Jesus has bequeathed his peace to you. Strong is the strength which God supplies through his eternal Son. The word of his grace is manna to the believing soul. The precious promises of the word are life, sweetness, and peace. Amen. The next one is suffering no excuse for unchristlike actions. During the past night, I have slept but little. I tried to look to Jesus to place myself in the hands of the great physician. He has said, my grace is sufficient for thee. The grace of Christ leads men to speak right words under all circumstances. Boldly suffering is no excuse for unchristlike actions. Amen. And I'm guilty of that too. I haven't been sick in a long time, but I can remember when I was sick last, I'd complain, you know, and I know some other, others that, you know, it's not an easy area to deal with when you're in pain. You're irritable. And, it's okay to be irritable to some extent, but there's, you know, you can go beyond irritability, you know. So that's something to, of course, keep the reins on. Okay, I'll read one more. Yeah, that was three. Yeah, this will be the third one. Okay, rising above pain. Often invalids can resist disease simply by refusing to yield to ailments and settle down in a state of inactivity. Rising above their aches and pains, let them engage in useful employment suited to their strength. By such employment and the free use of air and sunlight, many have emaciated invalid, and many an emaciated invalid might recover health and strength. Okay. Yeah, a lot of us deny that, you know, that vitamin D out there and that sunlight is very important.
Use of remedies, not a denial of faith. If they take the position that in praying for healing, they must not use the simple remedies provided by God to alleviate pain and to aid nature in her work, lest it be a denial of faith, they are taking an unwise position. This is not a denial of faith. It is in strict harmony with the plans of God. When Hezekiah was sick, the prophet of God brought him the message that he should die. He cried unto the Lord, and the Lord heard his servant and worked a miracle in his behalf, sending him a message that 15 years should be added to his life. Now, one word from God, one touch of the divine finger, would have cured Hezekiah instantly, but special directions were given to take a fig and lay it upon the affected part, and Hezekiah was raised to life. In everything, we need to move along the line of God's providence. A disposition to cause pain is satanic. It is because of man's sins that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together, Romans 8:22. Suffering and death were thus entailed, not only upon the human race, but upon the animals. Surely then it becomes man to seek to lighten, instead of increasing, the weight of suffering which his transgression has brought upon God's creatures. He who will abuse animals because he has them in his power is both a coward and a tyrant. A disposition to cause pain, whether to our fellow men or to the brute creation, is satanic. Many do not realize that their cruelty will ever be known because the poor dumb animals cannot reveal it. But could the eyes of these men be opened, as were those of Balaam, they would see an angel of God standing as a witness to testify against them in the courts above. A record goes up to heaven, and a day is coming when judgment will be pronounced against those who abuse God's creatures. And the next, maybe I'll let Lynn do the next two.
Okie dokie. I was just putting the last sentence there that you read. A record goes up to heaven, and a day is coming when judgment will be pronounced against those who abuse God's creatures. So true. Amen. The next section is, do not cause deeper pain. Oh, let no word be spoken to cause deeper pain. To the soul weary of a life of sin, but knowing not where to find relief, present the compassionate Savior. Take him by the hand, lift him up, speak to him words of courage and hope. Help him to grasp the hand of the Savior. Christ's anguish greater than bodily pain. But bodily pain was but a small part of the agony of God's dear Son. The sins of the world were upon him. Also the sins of his Father's wrath as he suffered the penalty of the law transgressed. It was these that crushed his divine soul. Amen. It was the hiding of his Father's face, a sense that his own dear Father had forsaken him, which brought despair. Oh, man, I can imagine, because a lot of times, you know, physical pain is one thing, but emotional pain or pain inflicted from others by words or actions can sometimes be harder to bear than physical pain. But continuing, the separation that sin makes between God and man was fully realized and keenly felt by the innocent suffering man of Calvary. He was oppressed by the powers of darkness. He had not one ray of light to brighten the future, and he was struggling with the power of Satan, who was declaring that he had Christ in his power, that he was superior in strength to the Son of God, that the Father had disowned his Son, and that he was no longer in the favor of God any more than himself. If he was indeed still in favor with God, why need he die? God could save him from death.
Amen. Is that it? I think we're done.